I gotta know because I gotta know. Is anybody here touched? Man, I am touched by the love of Jesus. Something happened when he touched me. How about you guys? Anything happened to you? Are you touched in the head? When Jesus touches us, something happens, yes? We should be excited, exuberant. Can we just sing that hymn like four times and just walk in the presence of the newness of life? Are you ready to be touched by Jesus this morning? Is that your desire? Do you want to be touched? Do you want to be different? I hope so. Because I will tell you, that doesn't come from you. That comes from him when he touches you. You have been called. I'm so excited to share what I learned, not just this week, but over the, well, I guess the last 5 years and the other 50 some before that. Can we go to the Lord in prayer and just ask that he move in a powerful way this morning? Pray for me as I pray for you. Father, I thank you again for this day that we set apart to worship you, to bask in your presence, to be touched by you. And God, I pray that you would do that. That through my words and your word, your spirit would pierce the darkness, open our eyes, unstop our ears, that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love us and that we love you. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at what the apostles received when they were called. If you were here, do you remember what they were given? Oh no, it's Sunday morning and there's a test. Power and authority. I don't know who said it, but hey, somebody was listening. Praise you, Jesus. We were given spiritual power and authority from God. He touched you. The question to answer is, what takes place when we come to Christ? There is no doubt we experience revelation. We recognize that we are messed up. We have a problem. And we come to understand that we're not going to make it through this life in and of our own strength. We need a Savior. Would you agree that's a true statement? Yes. But if that's all you see, you only see part of the great good news of the gospel. This morning we're going to take some time, we're going to look at more closely what it takes or what takes place when we respond to God's call. So we can know the full benefit of the great news of the gospel and all that it holds for us. We are not powerless because of Christ. We don't want to leave this power and authority on the table. This morning, pick it up, hold on to it, hold it close, and put it into practice. The book of Ephesians is a great little book to read. So if you have your Bibles and you want to find the little tiny book of Ephesians in the New Testament, this book helps you understand who you are in the eyes of God and who you were. Plus, if you read and apply the valuable information, you'll be better equipped to make it through this thing we call life. This little book is definitely worth the read. Ephesians 1 begins by telling us seven things that describe who we are in Christ. Seven things. We're blessed. Are you blessed? We're holy. Are you holy? We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We're predestined. And we are absolutely sealed in the precious blood of Jesus. Did you get all seven? Blessed, holy and blameless, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, predestined, and sealed by the blood. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, we're exposed to some pretty bad news. This is what we read. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, by nature, we were deserving of wrath. We understand wrath, right? That's something no one survives, including Jesus Christ himself. He endured the wrath of God. So we don't have to. The Bible speaks to three kinds of death, each as a position. There's the physical death. If you're 12 years old or older, you know that this physical body is going to decay. I mean, we don't get past that truth, right? There's also spiritual death, which is what's talked about here in Ephesians chapter 2. It's defined as separation from God. And then there's the second death, which is eternal death. That is complete, utter, never-ending separation from God. We don't want to be there. What separates us from God? Audience participation, just lob a guess out there. Sin. Thank you for the amen corner. Well done. Sin separates us from God, and sin is missing the mark. We've talked about this more than once in my 5 years. Sin is actually an archer's term. When you shoot your arrow at a target and you miss the bullseye, it's a sin. It's like in tennis, you know, love, fault, if you go out of bounds. So a sin was missing the mark. And that's when we sin, we fall short. We miss the mark. There's another term that we need to pay attention to, which is trespass. Unless, of course, you're talking about me, then it becomes trespasses. But to trespass is to cross the line that God has drawn. He has a standard, and we choose to or not to. And sometimes I choose to cross the line. So to trespass, it's considered willful disobedience, or defiance, or rebellion. We never live like that, right, church? We are holy and blameless in the eyes of God when we are in Christ. We need to recognize it is our failure, sin, and our disobedience, trespass, that separate us from God. If we minimize the severity of sin, we can easily get into trouble. Yes? It's our nature. If your thinking is diluted to, I'm not so bad. I'm really a good person. I'm not like so-and-so. You're deceived. This happens when we minimize the fact of our desperate need of a Savior and the realization of what Christ has endured and accomplished for you. We don't want to take that light. You know the prayer that everybody prays is, God, break my heart for what breaks your heart. But unfortunately, sometimes we get so wrapped up in our sin, we don't even recognize our sin because there's someone who's really crafty. And he says, well, you're not like so-and-so. you're not so bad. Are you deceived? We need to understand where we were and where we stand now. Do you know where you stand now? I mean, you can't be in the middle. You're all in or you're all out. We were dead in our trespass and sin. In Christ, we're made alive. Remember, salvation isn't anything we do. We're going to look at that in just a second. It is something God does. He touched me. And now I'm not the way I was. And I really don't want to go back to the way I was. If you're frequently feeling down and saying, oh, woe is me. Or you find yourself thinking, well, you know I should. I know I could. I miss the mark all the time. Instead of, I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I can do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan, get behind me. That's how we're to go through this week. That's how I was to have gone through last week. And I'll tell you, I had a little not so great week. Why am I not standing and walking in this authority? Because there's one in this world that wants to keep us down. We must choose today to purpose to stand on the power and authority that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. If the enemy has any opportunity to delude or deceive you on the position you have in Christ, he has successfully reduced the power and the authority and things that have been done for you who are in Christ. Jesus went to the cross for you. You see, by nature, we are sinners. We're sinful from birth. We're spiritually dead from our first breath. That's where we begin. That's our position. And then he touched me. And we have new life in who? James? Come on, say it with authority, class. Christ. Yes. If there's a dead person here, has anybody here been to a funeral? You've been to a funeral, right? Does that dead person do anything? Like, knock on their forehead. Do they respond? No. Because they're dead. They're not breathing. They can't move. They can't think. They have no hope. Amen, sister. That's the condition we were in. We're dead. We're born spiritually dead. And then look at verse 4. I love it. But then, the first words of verse 4 excite me. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, holding back what we rightly deserve, death, is because of his great love for us. Do you recognize that, church? What happened when you came to Christ? Do you even remember coming to Christ? I love it when people go, I got the day, I remember. I remember where I was when I fully understood the love of Christ. And I've shared my testimony before. You know, I accepted Christ at 5, but until 2004, which was only a couple years ago, did I fully understand the love of Christ. If you know me, for 30 years I've been proclaiming the gospel. I started in 1990, but until 2004 did I understand the love of Christ. And I believe God used me mightily, and he's been equipping me. You don't have to be some scholar thing to be used of God. You need to be available and obedient and willing to take a step, fall down, get hurt, get messy. Well, that's how we learn. I'm not doing that again. Or I'm doing that again. I want to be with Jesus. Do you remember the question I just asked? What happened when you came to Christ? I'll tell you, right out the gate, God gave you life. That's what happened. Breathe that one in. New life. Look at verse 5. God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. You were dead and he made you alive. Do you believe that, church? We need to get this. Holy Spirit, reveal it to us. You have to understand it couldn't, if we're dead, we can't move, right? So this has to come from outside. God does a work. He created in you and me what did not exist. Life. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. He did a work and then we began to love him and to desire to know more about him. We want change. We get new convictions. Yes? Or is that just me? We want to be cleansed. We want to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. We lay ourselves at the foot of the cross and we come to the realization that, you know, the best thing I can do in life is die to myself and start living for Him. Am I the only one that's excited about Jesus? Am I the only one that's head over heels in love with Jesus? There's somebody else's head over heels in love with Jesus because they wrote on the bulletin board. I saw it. And I hope that the whole church just graffitis the whole, all the hearts and the doilies and just spill off the bulletin board and write it in stone on the church. God gave us power. When you came to Christ, you picked up the power. Are you using it? Because you have it, whether you choose to use it or not, it's there. Yes. Look at verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but this speaks to me of new life. Being raised up, right? Romans 6. We've been buried with him through baptism into death so that in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too who are in Christ can have new life. That's what I read in the Bible. That's what I choose to believe. That's what I'm applying to my life. To the best of my ability. We've been raised up from death in sin with Christ. We have supernatural power living within us that brings about change. You don't have to be like you were last week. From this moment forward, you can be different. Something happens. When we come to Christ, our thoughts change, our actions change, our focus changes through the working of the Holy Spirit. We have power that only comes from Jesus. Paul is stating that you have a position in Christ, a new power, a new capacity to be more than what you were before. You're no longer a slave to sin. You have power. You no longer have to be pushed around by the temptations and the sin that so easily entangles. And that power is given to you by God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You've been raised up in Christ. Too many people seem to think, well, this sin's too big. I just can't get around it. That's Satan's lie. Don't listen to it for another second. You need to know you can't out-sin the power of, listen, your Savior. And until he becomes your, you're leaving the power on the table. There is no pressure, problem, temptation that is beyond the reach of Jesus. When you are in Christ, you have power to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I will not be pushed around. Listen, class, you can tell them where to go. You just go back to where you came from, because I'm not allowed to say, go to hell. But you can tell Satan to do just that. Look at the rest of verse 6. God has secured heaven for us. He raised us up with Christ. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. I'm not on this earth. I am with my Maker, spiritually speaking. That which must be completed is already done. How do we get into heaven? Not by works, not by might. It is through Jesus. Getting to heaven is not based on what we have or have not done. It's based on what Jesus has done. It depends solely on his death and resurrection for you. He did it for you. It's by faith, not works. We gain entrance. It's through Jesus and only Jesus. There is no other way from what I have read through Scripture my entire life. In the Old Testament, the priest had to offer sacrifices for sin. And it was an ordeal. I mean, and when you read the Old Testament, and what they used to do is, like, you have to do this, and you have to do this, you have to do this over here. And this, there was always some sacrifice. There was always somebody coming. There was always one more sacrifice. One more confession. They were never done. Listen, Jesus completed the work at Calvary. Clearly, I can tell by your countenance you know this full well. It's like, come on, James, move on. We know. Okay, so you know, let's move in that power and authority. Let's be what God created us to be. The work is finished. So what happened to you when you came to Christ? Here's the review. You were given life. You were given power. Heaven was secured for you. And then God showered grace on you. Thank you, Jesus. That's what happened when you came to Christ. You received what you do not deserve. Three times in this little passage of Scripture, we find grace. Look at verse 5. God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 7. In order that in the coming age you might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. We see his grace expressed in kindness. It's an incomparable grace. Incomparable means there is no other. There is no equal. Grace doesn't get better. Who does that grace fall on? This blows my mind. It comes to those who are unlovable. It comes to the enemies of God. It comes to those with a sin nature. We're dead in sin, and we get grace. It is God's unmerited favor lavishly poured out on us. On those who didn't deserve it. We stand in awe when the truth of the matter is we should be on our knees. We should be prostrate, flat on our face because of God. Are we head over heels in love with Jesus Christ? Do you lay at the foot of the cross and just marvel at his love? We must understand that shallow views of death lead to shallow views of salvation and what Jesus has accomplished for you. And that's the power we walk in. Verses 5 through 8 tell us, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that you've been saved. The question tends to be, saved from what? Well, everything we talked about in verses 1 through 3. Spiritual death, led and pushed around by the sinful nature, saved from the wrath of God. Thank you, Jesus. When we come to Christ, we are saved. The Bible is clear. There is now no condemnation for... Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I can't imagine how... Jesus, or God, just like he had to have leapt for joy because I just experienced, you know it full well. We need to recognize that God gives us the faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's something he did. Verses 8 and 9 tell us, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works that anyone can boast. It's a gift. But listen, you took the action to believe. I did, I guess, twice when I was 5, and I don't know how old I was in 2004, but I made a conscious decision. I took an action. I believe. I believe, fully convinced that I need a Savior, that he died for me and rose again, and I get his power applied to me. I'm walking in the newness of life. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, calls is the action. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah. I'm so excited that the church knows God's word without looking at it. You exercise faith by coming to Christ. And you exercise faith walking with Christ. Paul's saying that faith is a gift from God. It can't be anything else if we're dead. A dead person is not moving. We're not dead men walking. Is that some movie or something? It doesn't happen like that. This is how it works. Get this. If you don't understand this concept, spiritual eyes are opened. The ears are open. They're unstopped. And we hear the voice of God. And we take a step. We move because we have new life. You have to understand that when you made that decision, when I made that decision in 2004, I was led by him to do that. That was him just going, take the scales off, unstop your ears. I am your Savior. And I went, God, you love me how much? When we respond to his call, life is given to us. We get power. Heaven is secured. We're showered with grace. We're saved from eternal separation from a holy and loving God. And then verse 10. We see that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. They don't get us to heaven. It's just a natural byproduct. I love you, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Forgive me. Here I am. Empower me. Here I am. You fill in the blank. I love this, are God's masterpiece. We're created with purpose and utility in mind. He wants to use you and me to fulfill the will and purpose of God. To be His church. We're going to be looking at the church until we're not looking, or become His church. We were created to do good works. God has a specific work for us to do here. Until He comes again or calls us home. So will you respond to what He's calling you to today? Because how you respond will impact the rest of your life. On earth and into eternity. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Jesus, we love you. We want to serve you. We want to praise you. We want to be used of you. And I thank you for what you have accomplished at the cross. And I pray that this church, Christ's Little Topahawken Church, will stand in the gap and be the church you created her to be. That we would reflect you well. That you would use us to make an impact in your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.